All right. So I'm here with Roy Getchell, who has just returned from Juno, giving on a big presentation, and trying to fill some of these empty slots we have. How are you doing, Roy?
It has been a busy week, but a good one. I feel, you know, it's Friday. How can you not feel good on a sunny Friday in Haines? But it's been an impactful week, so I'm happy about that.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, sure. So I just got back from Juno. I had the privilege of being invited testimony to Senate Finance for an increase to the BSA, the base student allocation for educational funding that's been put forward. And was able to really just tell Haines' story. You know, I tried to tell the story of my colleagues across the state and in my own experience when I think about how far Alaska has come, you know, not in a good way as far as recruitment and so forth and the challenges that we face. And I think they have a hard job. You know, there's finite resources. Obviously, as an educator, I think that their most important responsibility is to school. I just do. That's from the bottom of me and who I am and what I think. But they have a tough job. But I think there's a recognition that something has to be done. We can't continue down this trajectory and this path as a state. And we've been touched with that this year. But I'm excited because I think that, you know, we're going to make it through, and, you know, we've got some great people that we've invited to join our community and join our school.
Yeah, I know. So you were telling me that we have, what is it, 9 slots that you managed to fill.
We do.
That, which is a pretty monumental considering the number of faculty we have at our school.
You know, the last time we talked, I remember thinking, how are we going to do this? You'll also remember that I spoke a lot about, you know, potentially using J-1 visas, which is not bad. And I said this yesterday, there are tremendous teachers in our state on J-1 visas that are here. The issue with that for us is that's not how we've been able to be successful is continuity, because you have to say goodbye in 3 to 5 years. And so, you know, they fill the gap and do a great job in a lot of our rural school districts, but we thought we were going to be heading down that road. We do have one J-1 teacher that's coming from Spain that I've actually worked with before, who is really well-skilled in the Reads Act, you know, Colorado's version of it, which is almost identical to Alaska's. She's been in the U.S. for 7 years and is a literacy instructor from northern Spain. Her husband runs a ski resort there, and so he's thrilled about coming to Haines. But, you know, people like that are who we've been able to bring forward. So if I look at the average years of experience, it's probably 15 or more when you add up all 9 of these candidates that we've brought in.
That's pretty impressive, again, considering that there's a sheer number that you had to fill.
It is. And the other thing I think that's impressive, and, you know, I'd tell you the truth, I would, because if, you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat this crisis that I think Alaska is in, but this class of people that we've hired, and that's what I'm going to call them, you know, is the class of 23. There are so many. It's 39% of our certified staff. But this would be a great class no matter the year. You know, even if it was a year where we had, you know, back in the good old days when there were hundreds of applicants for each position, we were able to get there early enough. We had enough support and people to quickly move to, you know, our board members have worked incredibly hard. We've had parents involved in meetings, staff involved in interviews. Lily has just worked overtime, reference checking. I can't, and other staff have gone out of their way to try to support and call candidates and help, not convince them, but just tell the story of Haines and who we are as a community and why this is a great place to live, work, and become a part of.
So can you tell us about just a little overview on some of these teachers and faculty we got coming in?
Yeah, so they're from all over the country, you know, and obviously we prioritize Alaska experience. We think that's important. We're super fortunate that our new assistant principal has over 10 years of Alaska experience. He was a grant manager for over 10 years in Nenana, was a K-12 principal there. So he comes into the state with all kinds of relationships. In fact, when I was in Juneau, I had 2 or 3 people pull me aside and say, How'd you manage to get him for an assistant principal? I said, we're Haines. I don't know what else to say. We're fortunate. People want to live here. And in his case, he wanted his children to go to school here. And as a bonus, and I don't know, maybe it's one way or the other, it could be said the other way, is that he's the bonus. But, you know, Mindy, his wife, is a science teacher. So she's going to be teaching middle school science. And again, I've had a lot of people tell me, how did you manage to get that as well? How did you manage to get her? So having that family come to town is going to be tremendous. They've got 3 boys. They want, You know, whenever you have somebody that moves to town that says, this is what we want for our children, those are people that are going to stay. And so I'm thrilled, and I think we're going to hit the ground running with both of them. But I've got a lot of other people. So I mentioned Rosanna, who's coming from Spain. Katie Polson is from Shaktulik. I got to meet her at the state basketball tournament. She was wearing a Shaktulik sweatshirt, but was cheering for Haynes, came over and sat with us, and I got to meet she and her husband. Husband's a paraprofessional and well-beloved there, but she's got over 10 years of experience teaching out there and just highly thought of in her community. Zach Tourville, who is currently works in the UAF physics department, so he's a high school science teacher, but he's currently working for UAF and said, you know, I want to get back into high school, and so has connections to Haynes and said, I'd like to come, and we were like, well, of course, and we're thrilled, you know, to bring him on. Ashley Pillsbury, we've obviously got a lot of interest in Haynes with arts and culture, and so this is a super attractive spot. We had great candidates for that position. So we've hired Ashley Pillsbury, who's come from Maine. She's worked in all three levels, which is so important, you know, in a K-12 school. Stoli Lynch, you know, a local who's just going to be great as a music teacher. She's trained as, you know, working in literacy with young children, but we all know that she's musically gifted and she's got lots of experience working with children here in that regard, so she'll take on that role. Lacey Schultz is from Minnesota. She's got over 20 years of special ed experience, a lot of that in Minneapolis, about half and half between center-based programs and being a resource teacher. So most recently, or last 10, or as a resource teacher. So again, we've got a great candidate there. And then finally, Jeff Anderson, who is from Bend, Oregon. And he sent us an email, and he's one that definitely you want to interview right away for high school social studies. 25 years of experience. A lot of it is with International Baccalaureate. He's bilingual. His references said, you know, that he's a fixture. You know, they're going to miss him. He's been a department chair. He and his wife want something different, you know, after 25 years in Oregon. And Haynes is different, and we think it's going to be just a perfect match. So those are the nine that we've got so far. We're working on one more, and that would be a fifth grade one-year position that we're hoping to fill and hope to do that in the next week.
So it really seems you managed to turn this one around from looking like, oh, yeah, we're deep in the hole, to where you just can't, you're getting, yeah, what could be considered cream of the crop filling some of these positions.
This is a veteran staff, and so, you know, that's coming in. So we're going to have a lot of work, you know, in building culture, building, you know, just building this team with, you know, 39% new membership in our certified ranks. I think that's going to be super important. But one thing they all share is a desire to be in Haynes. They want to be in Haynes. They understand. We've really worked hard to make sure. Do you understand coming to Haynes, what that's going to look like? And I think they all do. You know, many of them have been here. Some have already come to visit after their hiring, to just visit and look around and become a part of the community. So I'm thrilled to be able to introduce all these folks to our community and most importantly, our students.
I know one of the big issues that we have going in the past and continuing to have in filling some of these positions is pay for educators, mm-hmm, is low in Alaska, mm-hmm, especially, mm-hmm, low here in Haynes, mm-hmm, and the cost of living is high. Mm-hmm. A gallon of milk is $10. Mm-hmm. So obviously just being Haynes has kind of helped surmount some of that.
It has, and we also just completed negotiations with the HEA, the Haynes Education Association, which here we're fortunate, I think, in that our classified and certified, they work together. We all work together. We had some federal help where they come in and kind of help, I guess, facilitate that. But they watched us and they were like, wow, this is a whole new model of bargaining, because in 3 days they saw just a super collaborative approach where we identified problems in common. You know, I don't think there were things that were that anybody was surprised about. We worked together, and we were able to settle on a 10% increase for staff. We're at a point where we need to do that. Now, that is not going to close the gap whenever I have an experienced teacher from out of state who wants to come here, but it puts us in the game. It puts us so that we're in a spot that Haynes can compete for high-quality staff, and I think this is proof that it worked. And it'll continue to work, and now it's our job to retain them and keep them and make sure that they're happy while they're here.
What do you think is going to be your next move on this front? Because it's not, as you said, mm-hmm, it's not going to end. This is a great outcome so far, but you definitely want to keep this ball rolling, yeah?
You know, we've had really great advocacy locally. You know, the borough is, you know, right now in their preliminary budget has an additional $200,000 to help with these kinds of things. Our costs for people, that's the majority of our budget, it obviously needs to increase to be competitive. But our fixed costs, the things that we can't back out of, those are things like heat, commodities, utilities, snow plowing, you name it, all of those have exponentially increased. And so to be able to combat that, we've needed some extra support, and they've stepped in to help kind of fill that gap. We're also in a good financial position, so we have some different places that we can take some money and work through that and help out with that. But the bottom line at the end of the day is, you know, I expect that the state is going to pick up and do their part. You know, they haven't increased the BSA since the first day of school in 2016. You know, I was a lot younger then, just back in my mid-40s. But, you know, I have to say that, you know, years and years of flat funding equal years and years of catching up to do. And I don't expect us to do that all at once. That's going to be a hefty chore for the state to be able to do, I think, because I think there's a lot of catching up to do. But again, they've got to make it so that we can compete and get us back in a reasonable range here so that Alaska school districts can continue to do what we do best, and that's provide a well-rounded, experiential, high-quality education for our students every day.
I know we're coming up on the end of the school year, and we'll check back in with you when it's actually all wrapped
up. Sounds good.
But how are you feeling about how this last year has gone, coming out of the pandemic and dealing with some of these issues? How do you think everything's settling?
Well, it feels good because a lot of the issues, I wouldn't say that they've been easier, but they're ones that we're typically working with. You know, I these are things that I'm used to working with, but the last few years are ones that I'm not necessarily trained for. I mean, I'm trained in leadership. I love working with people. I love trying to create places where people with differences of opinion can work that out and get along and find solutions. I think that is a critical role of public education in the United States, is to take people from all backgrounds, all beliefs, with all different kinds of ideas, experiences, to find a common place to do that when they're children, and as parents, for us to come together and be able to do that for their benefit. But I wouldn't say the problems are smaller, but they're ones that I'm used to working through. And so there's comfort in that for me. And I'm excited that, you know, we're talking about teaching, we're talking about learning, and when we're hiring staff, we're plugging people into things that we think that we need. So it's been a very good year. I don't feel good that my daughter's graduating, though. She's a senior. I'm dragging my feet on that. So while I look forward to summer, I am not looking forward to graduation this year, Brandon. It goes too fast.
6 weeks away. It's a lifetime.
It is, right. A lot can happen.
But. Yeah, well, I mean, I would say, for what it's worth, she's graduating. That
yes.
means you did something right.
Yes. And she's going to be a teacher. So
really?
Yeah, I've got two daughters. Both are going to be kindergarten teachers. She was going to go into something else, but did an internship in kindergarten this year and said, "Dad, I think this is what I was born to do." And I'm like, I knew it, but I wasn't going to tell you. Because if I did, she wouldn't do it. But,
yeah.
But you know, I sometimes I hear people say, "Why would you encourage your children to go into education?" And I can't imagine my life not doing what I was born to do, and the impact that I think teachers are able to have, and the difference that we can make, and at the end of the day, when I walk away from this, whenever that may be, I hope it's a long time from now, but to say, wow, I did something that mattered. And I think that everybody, I hope, can say that, no matter what it is that they work with or what they do, because I think that everybody needs to find that within themselves. And I'm glad I found it for me, and I think my girls have found that for them, and I'm glad it's education.
Wonderful. Superintendent Roy Getchell, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. As always, it's a privilege. Thank you.